Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now, as far as the free agency signings, just directly from Shams here, yesterday the Nets did reach a two-year deal with veteran guard Keon Ellis. That's a young backcourt that needs a veteran like Ellis. Over the course of the last hour, Mike Conley, remember him? He's signing with the Boston Celtics for a one-year deal. He will be the 14th player in NBA history to reach 20 seasons played, which is incredible. Nikola Vucevic is going back to the Orlando Magic. Ariel Huck-Porty has gone to the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Nets staying active. They have now reached a two-year, $19 million deal with Mo Wagner to be their, backup center to De'Ron Sharp. And this Fan Focus was sponsored by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. How that relates to the Knicks, just real quickly, I got to think if Wagner is signing with the Nets, backup Sharp, not that they were ever in, but Mitchell Robinson, that kind of like pipe dream of stay in New York, go play with the Brooklyn Nets, and some one, you know, three of the nine Net fans had alerted to. I'm taking shots at the team I like the most. Not going to happen. Where does Mitchell Robinson land? Major questions. You still wonder, as Craig alluded to, can some kind of less money extension with Carl Anthony Towns help that out? But I do want to say just kind of an overarching theme. I know when you win a championship, you want to and you desire to bring everybody back, especially your important contributors. But I think the Knicks would be fine. Like Mitchell Robinson, for being through the bad times, being through the good teams, good times, obviously he's important defensively. But the idea of like still not figuring out how to shoot freaking free throws. He does have long-term injury concerns. Like, he has been in and out of the lineup enough the last couple of years. Obviously, Joel Embiid did not help matters with that. We have seen far better players in this town exit immediately after championships. I mean, heck, Michael Strahan retired right after a 2007 Super Bowl, and the Giants found themselves winning one 4 years later. Hideki Matsui was the MVP of the 2009 World Series and was not on the Yankees in 2010. A lot of apples and oranges, I hear you. But the idea of bringing the band back together, while that sounds good in theory, I promise, if we get the news that Mitchell Robinson is in fact not back with the Knicks, I do think the Knicks will ultimately figure this out and be all right. I think we're so used to not winning in this town that the immediacy of everybody's got to be back, and I understand that. Let's relax. If we get the news that Mitchell Robinson has signed elsewhere and gotten his quote-unquote bag elsewhere, I promise you the Knicks will be okay. 888-808-1019. Tom in Chappaqua. Tom, what's up?
Sean, an honor to speak with the star of the Tiki Avenue Show.
Don't forget the width, like, Tom. Don't forget the width. The width is sitting right here on July 1st on Canada Day with you, man.
I know. Well, you're like the Mariano Rivera of the show.
Thank you. Just not versus Cleveland in 97.
Oh, you had to bring that up, Sandy Alomar. But anyway, going back here, you're talking to a guy who goes back to day one of the Fan in 1987, watching the Yankees since the 1964 World Series. So a little history here, but it's, I got to tell you, I think that everyone is killing Boone, but you got to look at the front office.
Yeah.
And the Yankees need to start focusing on making contact, fewer home runs. Judge covered up. They beat up on lousy pitching and mediocre bullpens. That doesn't get it done in the postseason.
No, it doesn't.
Sean, you're talking to a guy who plays baseball. One of my teammates was D. Evan Roberts in his Twitter league. And, you know, Evan, by the way, great bunter because he can't hit. But you see, I still umpire. I play in wood bat leagues. The fundamentals, the Yankees, I mean, we could go on about, oh, let's fill this hole like a rotisserie team here. But I'm telling you, Sean, I know. Listen, I feel your pain. I'm not buying this. I just see this definition of insanity. So I'm not panicking because this is the same thing every year. Why put yourself through the torture, man?
Because I'm a fan, Tom. I'm a fan. And the definition of being a fan is to put yourself through this. And I have hope. I hope that things can be different. The Knicks are supposed to give me hope that the Yankees can be different because this was the Knicks the last couple of years. And speaking of that, you can't make it up. You can't make it up. Can't break the glass. Connor deserves to just run to the bathroom when he has to. Bare bones here today. I just get done with this fan focus talking about the Knicks being all right without Mitchell Robinson. And here's your breaking glass. We have our Mitchell Robinson news. Mitchell Robinson's career, at least for now, with the New York Knicks is over. This from Shams. Free agent center Mitchell Robinson has agreed to a 3-year, $47.4 million deal to sign with the Boston Celtics. He has a player option in the third season. Sources tell ESPN. Mitchell Robinson, right after, I mean moments after I get done explaining the Knicks will be all right. He departs the Knicks after being a key role on their championship team. He was the basically original Knick there down during the down times. I mean, the injuries, we may never really know what happened to Mitchell Robinson in this postseason, right before the NBA Finals. We obviously had the Joel Embiid injury stuff, but Mitchell Robinson's career as a New York Knick leaves. He's going to leave a legend, all right? I mean, he's a champion. We'll remember Mitchell Robinson fondly. But of all the places for Mitchell Robinson to land, this one's tough to swallow. He goes to your biggest, I mean, nemesis. You want to use the word rival? That dirty water team from up north? Mitchell Robinson's a Boston Celtic. And we don't know what the history, what the future holds for Jaylen Brown in Boston. But if Jaylen Brown is not moved, and obviously Jason Tatum now comes back fully healthy, the Boston Celtics aren't going anywhere in terms of, you know, being a thorn in the Knicks' side. And look, the Knicks beat them 2 years ago. And Tatum got hurt. But the Knicks had already had that 3-1 series lead when he did. And it was too little too late by the time Tatum came back to figure out how to get their footing under them. And the 76ers took them out. But as Tatum kind of rests up this summer, and we see what happens with Jaylen Brown, they have taken a piece of the Knicks' championship soul, so to speak, in Mitchell Robinson. In terms of farming your own land, I maintain what I said just 10 minutes ago. The Knicks are going to be fine roster-wise. As much as Mitchell Robinson is an important Knick, particularly defensively, or was, as much as he was obviously a fan favorite, anytime you have a homegrown guy that's there during a dark time and then rises up and is part of a team that wins a championship, I mean, you're always going to love that guy. But the Knicks roster themselves, they will be okay. And look, I mean, was now if we could play the negative side of this, it became infuriating watching Mitchell Robinson not figure out how to hit free throws. I mean, it just did. Teams could have an entire game plan about slowing things up. The hack of Mitch now worked in the Knicks' favor at times, especially in that comeback versus Cleveland, when Cleveland basically slowed the whole game up and allowed the Knicks to come back because they thought they were being cute with the hack of Mitch. But it became infuriating. And as the Knicks look to continue to improve themselves even beyond being a champion and being a more well-rounded basketball team, while they will miss the rebounding, of that there is no doubt. While they will miss the presence off the bench on the defensive side, of that there is no doubt. Mitchell Robinson becoming at times a negative for being on the floor for just that hack of Mitch stuff and the free throws. I mean, it drove you nuts. So it'll be a different style now. It'll be a different style of Knicks basketball. Now, I didn't love that in the draft. They didn't address maybe, you know, trying to draft a 7-footer and kind of groom him and get that replacement for Mitch internally. But he's a Boston Celtic now, and he is the enemy. Mitchell Robinson, a Boston Celtic. Oh, this kind of reminds me of like the reverse Johnny Damon. Johnny Damon wins a World Series with the Red Sox. He's a Red Sox hero, and he goes to the hated New York Yankees. Like, this is probably how people in Boston felt when Johnny Damon signed with the Yankees. Wasn't the best player on the team, but was an important player on the team, and he goes to the Yankees? Ended up working out for the Yankees. We'll see if the Celtics just works out for Mitch. Seeing Mitchell Robinson in a Boston Celtic uniform, ugh. So two things can be true. The Knicks will be fine. They will figure this out. They're going to miss him. but he was not one of the main five key stars to this team. It is not as if OG Anunoby just signed with the Boston Celtics. But if you were to check, like, when Isaiah Hartenstein goes to Oklahoma City, all right, goes to Oklahoma City, won a championship, but it's non-disruptive. You don't really care. They're out of your way. As great a team as they were, and they won a championship immediately after getting, then he went to the Boston Celtics. The homegrown, gritty Mitchell Robinson with his truck on big wheel, like going to Boston and playing for the Celtics? Ugh. So, Knick fans, your thoughts on Mitchell Robinson officially not being back and instead getting his three-year, $47.4 million deal with the Boston Celtics, 888-808-1019. Back to your calls, Steve in White House Station. Steve, what's up? Yes, Steve.
About the game on, yeah, and secondly, about the game on TV last night, if you spare with me. So,
sure.
You know, I'm surprised nobody had brought this up in the past, but clearly he's been effective and he's been, you know, Cy Young, legitimate candidate, but he throws 90-95% fastballs. It's a great fastball.
It does change the the speeds on them. Yes.
He does. But ultimately you gotta, anybody has some other pitches. And, you know, ultimately major leaguers are gonna catch up. And I think that's part of the issue right now.
Yeah, it's also felt flat, Steve. I think some of the movement on his fastballs had been there. But it's felt flat. Like, everything yesterday just felt like it was driving over the plate. And again, he's allowed. Maybe last night was a one-off. But it did feel like in previous starts, we kind of made excuses with the errors. He was also allowed to get out of innings with errors, and he didn't. Something didn't feel off. He didn't feel as electric. I know he had his ERA lowered, ironically, in Boston because it was all unearned. But it didn't feel crisp and great. It was a lot of soft contact. And yesterday was just home run derby. He will pitch again, presumably Sunday, versus the Minnesota Twins. That could be a get-right spot. I don't know how you don't have at least an ounce of worry. You want to be proven wrong for your worry, but you're allowed. It's healthy to worry. Al in Bayside. Al, what's up?
Hi, guys. Anywhere but Boston. I just had a comment when you tell me about Mitch. Anywhere but Boston. We could have rooted for him if he was a Laker even.
Yep.
Not Boston. Anyway, I called about LeBron. My feeling is that he would be so well off going to Washington. They go from the most boring team to the most exciting. Him as a bookend with AJ going 100 miles an hour with AD and Trey and a bunch of good athletes. He could turn it all around. He could be what Michael Jordan never could do for the Wizards. He could bring us to the playoffs, prove he's the GOAT. I'd say he should be thinking about the Wizards.
Al, I appreciate the call. It's an interesting debate, right? Because when we talk about LeBron versus Jordan, a lot of people will never budge on the Jordan thing. But going to where Jordan ended his career in Washington and being better than Jordan was in Washington, obviously a better team around him, would be kind of a funny, like, notch. But, you know, you heard Shams yesterday, in case you missed it, LeBron claims he's willing to accept the minimum contract to play for a contender. And he doesn't intend to make a financially driven decision. That's what I saw. I mean, there's no guarantee, at least right away, that Washington's a contender. And Anthony Davis is never healthy. Now, DeBonce, it's probably going to take a year or two. And you pair him with Trae Young. I don't think Washington's right away a contender. Now, maybe they just come out guns blazing. I mean, look, even Victor Wembanyama, the alien he is, took the Spurs a couple years to kind of get going, and now they're really going. So LeBron doesn't have a couple years. So if he's really interested in playing for a contender, I don't know how Washington's in the mix. Now, you heard yesterday Cleveland would be interested. It's hard not to say Cleveland's a contender. I mean, you did make the conference finals a year ago. You know, the Knicks chewed you up and spit you out like dog food. But that and Golden State and going and playing with Steph Curry and Draymond Green for a year and seeing what happens there. Again, I would question how much a contender they are, but it sure would be fun. Be like watching the Big Three when you watch all the old basketball players play, I guess. The Wizards, it's hard for me to get behind LeBron wanting to do that, although the Jordan aspect is kind of funny. Mike in Rocky Point. Mike, what's up?
Sean, how are you, buddy?
What's up, Mike?
Yeah, Sean, long-time Yankee fan here. Long-time Cashman. not a Cashman fan, I'll say that. You know, Sean, they talk about, you know, he keeps the team over 500 for last, you know, 30. I get it. You know, if you gave me the core four and, you know, I, obviously Mariano as my closer for the first 15 of my career, I'll keep you over 500 too. But, you know, Sean, I look at the player development or lack thereof. I look at over the years, the trades that he's made, the free agent signings. More importantly, the trades, though. When I look at the deadline, and I'm looking at it again this year, and I, you know, I say to my girlfriend all the time, there's not enough hits in this lineup. You know, everything now is OPS. I get it, you know. But when you have a shortstop that batted 209 last year, the catcher batted 212, this is what you go into the season with. At the deadline last year, you think Ryan McMahon, the guy leads the National League in strikeouts, that's the guy we need. I you know, like, this is not correct. And I would ask you, what gives you confidence that, what was the year that Cashman made that savvy trade at the deadline that put us over the top? I could think of Justice back in 2000.
Yeah, I was going to say, David Justice is always the one that jumps out.
I mean, think about that, Sean.
It's been a long time.
25 years.
Mike, I'm not going to lie to you, though, Mike, if I'm being honest. Yeah. The year they got Rizzo and Gallo, I was thrilled. It didn't work out that way. But
I was not. Yeah, I was not.
Okay.
Gallo was Ryan McMahon. I mean, I you know,
but still, but Rizzo felt like the right move. Thanks for the call for the Yankees at the time. I was wrong. He was wrong. I mean, Rizzo was fine, but certainly wasn't the Anthony Rizzo of old. What gives me confidence, honestly, is the way the Yankees, up until the last couple of weeks, had acted this year. Like, they didn't just hand Anthony Volpe back the job. They sort of took their time here with Gerrit Cole before rushing him back. It seemed like they took that very serious. They really were true about playing Ben Rice at first base at the beginning of the year, and not just because they signed Goldschmidt, giving him as many at-bats as possible. They allowed him to kind of earn that job. I could be blind faith, and it turns out I'm the biggest sucker of them all because I've been the most critical of Brian Cashman, and then here I am going, I do have confidence this year, and maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't know if you're Brian Cashman. You're not getting any younger. You know that your Yankee core, like the big guns, are not getting any younger. You see them struggling with these guys injured. I just don't know how you have an honest conversation with yourself and even look at some of the prospects that you held on to in past couple of years and how they've performed at the major league level. I don't know how you're a good baseball mind and not think to yourself, I need to act a little differently this year. I need to act with urgency. How could you watch this team and not act that way? So that's where I'm at. 888-808-1019. All right, so your calls on the Yankees, the Mets, and Steve Cohen's comments that David Stearns will play out the contract, and Mitchell Robinson is a Boston Celtic. All of that on the table at 888-808-1019. And in a few minutes, the mayor of New York City will pop by as we have some extreme heat coming to the area. We'll talk to the mayor and figure out what's going on here in New York City the next couple days and how to stay safe as well, and maybe even ask him his thoughts on Mitchell Robinson leaving.